So this morning, I really felt in my heart to share on a portion of scripture. I can't get away from Ephesians chapter 4. I've been trying, I promise. I really had another preach that was burning in my heart until the Lord laid this on my heart in the week. So please turn with me in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 13. And last week we actually looked at that thing of the unity of the faith, what the Lord is calling us to. If you weren't here, you guys can go listen to this preach. It's online. And but then Paul continues the thought pattern that he starts. He says, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of then the knowledge of the Son of God. And I want to talk this morning about the knowledge of the Son of God. I want to start off to say that this is not the knowledge that saves you. You know, that moment that you have, that light bulb moment, that moment where he comes and he actually shows himself to be true, who he is to you. That moment of God revealing himself. I mean, and that everybody will refer to as that moment that you were born again. It's actual fact, the moment of, there's a big theological word for this called regeneration. Regeneratie. So the Holy Spirit comes and he's the one that switches on the light for you. He's the one. Because then regeneration goes into faith. Geloof. En dit is die geloof wat ons gered word. En dat ons genade vir die eerste keer kan sien. Dis hoekom John Newton geskryf het, Amazing Grace, genade onbeskryflik groot. Because John Newton saw that. Because the Holy Spirit showed it to him for the first time in his life. And for some of you, you might have not experienced that yet. And I pray that God will come. And even this morning, that the light will be switched on for you. For some of you, you've been following the Lord. Who's been following the Lord for more than 20 years? More than 30 years? More than 40 years? More than 40 years? Serious? That is amazing. That deserves a hand clap. That's amazing. That's amazing. Wow. You see, but for Danielle, it's every day God revealing something more about himself. Her journey will only be done the day that she's taken up in heaven and be with the Lord. Then she will know everything in full. And we call that moment that God will bring a glorification. But for her right now, God is busy working with her every single day. And that we need, my friends, we need a knowledge. Not just a knowledge that first saves us, but we need a knowledge of him every single day. So this knowledge that he is talking about, that Paul's talking about here this morning, refers to a deeper, more intimate, experiential knowledge. A deeper, more intimate, experiential knowledge. So, I know my wife. I think I know her most of the time. We've been married for, now I've got to be very careful, to my son's 13 years. And we met, and you know that first conversation that you have with someone? That first date, you talk about everything, and you kind of like to pinpoint where that person is, and what they like and they don't like, and I realize that my wife does not like, or my wife-to-be at that stage does not like that I eat from her plate. She almost stabbed me with a fork in my hand when I stole something from her plate. So I you know, I've learned something about her, my future wife, you know. But there's every time that we come together, that every day I learn more about her and she learns more about me. And I'm going to get a little bit graphic this morning. So if you think you're underage, maybe just close your eyes. But that's the same way that when a man and a woman gets together. Okay. This is church people. Let's talk about sex. Okay. Tell your kids about sex. Because the world's going to tell your kids about sex. And you don't want that. You don't want that. Believe me. The world's going to tell your kids about sex. And they're going to pervert it. And this is pure and it's beautiful. My kids still go, ugh, every time I kiss my wife. But it's beautiful. And this is where it comes from. If you look in the Old Testament, that this one knew that one. It wasn't like they just knew about one another. They had intimacy. And that is exactly the point that Paul is making here. He says that we all come. Can you pop that scripture up there, please? Thanks. Until we all, every single one of us, come to that point of the knowledge, the intimacy of the Son of God. Paul's prayer is really, his wish is this, that you and I, each one of us, we come to a place of a deeper understanding of Jesus. And it's not a collective thing. I can have an understanding, but I can't take my understanding and actually give it to William. William needs to have an experience. He needs to experience it for himself. I can tell William about my experience that I had with the Lord, but ultimately he needs to have a deeper, intimate, experiential knowledge of God. And that is really the point this morning that I want to make. If this is the only thing you take home this morning, I want to make this point that you can have that knowledge of Him, of the Son of God and what He's done for you. Not just to, like, Jesus saved me and He wants to bless me and He wants to do good things for me. No, there is so much more about Him that you can learn. Like you learn about your spouse, like you learn about your kids. There's a revelation that God wants to bring. It refers to a growing encounter. Every single day, I have an encounter with the Lord. I learn how to listen to His voice. I learn how to obey His voice when He speaks. It's a growing encounter with the Lord Jesus Himself. So that we come to know Him more and more. It's this beautiful song, I want to know you more. I want to know you more. Don't think what you've learned in a Bible school or what you've learned in preschool or Sunday school or any school is enough. Because He wants you to experience Him every single day. You know, not to just to know about Him, but to know Him. I've used this. Who knows Donald Trump? Who knows him? Do you know him? You know of him, but you don't know him. And the media can write a lot of things about Donald Trump, and you can actually say, I know him, but you don't know him. Have you had experiential, deeper, intimate times with Donald Trump? Anybody here? No. You see, the thing is, we all think we know a lot about, and I can tell you right now, a lot of people in South Africa think they know God. A lot of people will tell you, yeah, I know God. And then we do silly things with white crosses on backs of Buc-ee's in Senegal. Because we do it in the name of God. But God, I don't think, is even putting His stamp of approval on that stuff. Not getting political here this morning. But we do things in the name of God. And we think God is just going to give us a thumbs up about what we think is right in the eyes of God. We build beautiful churches. We do things. And God is not in it. Because we think we know God. I want to ask you, who has perceived the mind of God? God asked this question to Job. He says, were you there when I hung Pleiades up in the sky and hooked all the stars up there? Were you there? And Job is like, you know, it's like this, just like, I don't know. I read that like at the beginning of lockdown. It's like God's just, okay, Job, let me just show you something quickly. Just for a moment, keep quiet. You had like 28, you know, chapters to say something. and what you were saying is a lot of nonsense. So let me just talk for two. Okay, two chapters. That's it. Give me two chapters. And God's kind of like flexing his muscles a bit and telling him who he is. And Job's like, no, I don't even know you. But I want to know you. I want to know this God. I want to know you more. You see, this is a glorious component that God wants in your life of a maturing faith. Faith is not just basic that you believe, you start to believe, and you turn to Jesus, and you give your life to Jesus. But now you need to start walking this out by faith every single day. A maturing faith. You see, don't become discouraged. For this growing in the deeper knowledge of the Son of God is a lifelong process. It's not something that you've just started and you kind of arrive at a point. And it will not be completed until the Lord Jesus comes and he sees you face to face. So I want to encourage you, saints, keep on pressing on. Keep on pressing into the more of Jesus. See, this word knowledge is the Greek word epignosis. It comes from upon to know. And it's strengthened form of gnosis. And we'll look at that because you're going to say to me, but you get like this knowledge and it's called Gnosticism in the world today. I want to tell you, there's an earthly knowing and there's a spiritual knowing. And there's two different things to that. And I want to say to you that Gnosticism has taken over our world. I'm going to show it to you now. The thinking of people is like you can be God, basically. Hasn't that been the lie from the beginning from Satan? Telling us, well, if you eat of this, then you will be like God. See, it conveys the thought of a more full, larger, thorough knowledge. That's what it is. Not just a little bit that you know. My pa het altyd gesê, Stefan, jy is gevaarlik. Jy het die klok oor lei, maar jy weet nie waar die bel hang nie. Do you guys understand what I just said? What it means is that I know a little about a lot of things. And that's dangerous. And people come into arguments knowing a little bit about a lot of things. You hear the bell ringing like we hear now, but you don't even know where that bell is hanging. So the thing is this, it's not enough to just know about him. It's that we know him. It conveys the idea of intimacy, personal relationship. Jesus wants a personal relationship with you. He doesn't want to have a relationship via your parents. He doesn't want a personal relationship or a relationship with you via the pastor, your community leader, or anybody else, your teacher, or whoever else is somebody that speaks. He wants to have a relationship with you. It refers to the exact, I'm just unpacking this word epignosis. It refers to the exact and complete, thorough, accurate, experiential knowledge. Not just abstract, intellectual, hidden knowledge of God or even facts about him. It's not just an intellectual little exercise that we do. Because that I see a lot as well. Guys will argue about theology. And theology is the knowledge of God. Theos logos, the word of God, understanding of God. Problem is, people will argue about theology for hours and they still don't know him. They can spend hours and write magnificent papers about him, but they don't have a relationship with him. Intellectual. Intellectualism is another enemy of us right now. Because we want to read the Bible from an intellectual point. And we don't want to read it like little children that will actually sit at the feet of Jesus and eat from him. The bread of life. You see, epignosis will always describe moral or religious knowledge in the New Testament, and especially refers to full comprehensive knowledge of God's will that rests on the knowledge of God and of Christ found today in His Word. How do I know? How will man know the will of God? Well, if I know the Word of God. I cannot go and say, I know the will of God if I don't know what the Word of God tells me. This is my compass. If I want to direct my ways, hoe sal 'n jong man sy pad suiwer hou? Deur dit te hou aan die woord van God. It's God's word. It's God's word. It's not my opinion that counts here. It's God's word. Is God directing you through His word every single day? You know, we sang that little song, lees jou Bybel, bid elke dag. But do we do that? Because that is the only way that we will be guided through the word of God. And people, we are in a storm. We are in a storm. If you look at the world today, we are in a storm. The media is manipulating and telling us what we should and should not believe. People believe the media before they believe the Bible today. Commentator one says, all spiritual grace comes from our personal knowledge and experience of God. 2 Peter 1 verse 3. 2 Peter 1 3 says this, His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life, this life that we live on planet earth, and the godly life that we can live through the There's that word, epignosis, the knowledge of Him, intimacy. So every time you see that word knowledge, please write it down and say intimacy. A deeper understanding of Him. Intimacy. Daniel 11:32 tells this. He shall seduce with flattery those who violate the covenant, but the people who know their God. There's that word again. The people who know their God shall stand firm and take action. How can you stand firm in a storm if you don't know Him? How can you? What is the anchor? Hebrews chapter 6, 19 tells us that hope is an anchor for our souls. Hope is a person. His name is Jesus. When the storms of life are raging around you, you need to drop anchor. And that's hope, a confident expectation of better things to come, based upon Him, not upon my wishful thinking. You see, it's interesting to note that 8 out of the 21 uses of epignosis, they occur in the book of Colossians, where actually Paul is countering persuasive arguments. The Colossian church has been attacked. The church is under attack. And Paul is using persuasive arguments against these things. And he says, no, my friends, you need to know Jesus. So when the storm is coming in and the flood is coming in and it's here, then you need to know your God. Some translation says, and they will do mighty exploits. People that know their God. See, in 2 Peter, he uses it as well, quite a lot, this word knowledge. And here, Peter is countering false teachers. How will you know unless you know the truth? How will you be able to counter false teachers that is out there right now? Unless you know the truth. And that truth will set you free. His name is Jesus. So it's interesting to see how Paul uses this. And he actually uses it in the epistles when he ties it in with prayer. So in Philemon chapter 3 verse 6. Look at this. And I pray that the sharing of your faith may become effective for the full knowledge of every good thing that is in us for the sake of Christ. You see, he's tying knowing God in with prayer, and he's actually praying for the people. The next one that we're seeing is in the book of, to the saints in Philippi. He writes this, Philippians chapter 1. And it is my, again, he starts off with a prayer that your love may abound more and more with knowledge. There's that word, epignosis, and all discernment. Do you have verse 10 as well for me? So that you may approve, once you know what is good, that you may approve what is excellent, and so be pure and blameless for the day of Christ. He's praying. He's praying that the people will know Jesus. That's my prayer this morning for you as well, that you will know him deeper, more intimately. The next one that we see is to the church in Ephesus, Ephesians chapter 1, says this, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation and the epignosis of him, the deeper, intimate knowledge of him. He's praying again. He says, come on, guys. This is what we need to pray for. Church, this is what we need to pray for. We need to pray that people will know God. Not just know about God. Not have an intellectual stimulation, but really understand who God is, who Jesus is, and who the Holy Spirit is. Into the church in the Colossian saints, Colossians chapter 1, verse 9 and 10 says this, and so, from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. He ends with that again. Can you see that all these verses are tied in? That he is praying and he says that you are become fruitful. To know him is to become fruitful. To know God. You start growing into the more of God. Romans 10 verse 1 and 2 tells us this. Brothers, my heart's desire and prayer to God for them is that we may be saved. I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. Here Paul is actually bringing an argument and he's actually a warning. He says, guys, these guys, they have a zeal, but they don't know him. But I pray that they won't just have a zeal for God, but that they will know him. One of the scariest verses in the Bible is that moment when man will stand before the living God and he might be saying to you, depart from me, for I never knew you. He uses exactly the same word there. Exactly the same word. Epignosis. A knowledge. I never knew you. I never knew you intimately. God desires to know you intimately. Open your heart this morning. Open your heart before him and say, Jesus, come in. And I'm going to pray for us this morning. So the Jews' zeal for God, that verse that we saw in Romans chapter 10, the Jews' zeal for God was not conditioned nor characterized by a complete, vital, correct, experiential knowledge, but by a partial, insufficient knowledge, which was no fault of God. You see, this is not God's fault. God revealed himself through his son. God gave him the revelation, but they chose to be blinded and not see. The Jews wanted to see partially. They didn't know him. You see, knowledge of God will lead a person to have spiritual discernment. God wants you to spiritually discern the times, what's happening. If you know Him, if you know the truth, if you know the real deal, you'll be able to spot the fake. They say that the American bank, the vault, whatever it's called, those guys, what is it called? The treasury. They study the real notes all the time. They don't study the fakes. They study the real notes. That when they see a fake, they spot it immediately. So stop studying the fakes. Stop worrying about Hinduism and Buddhism and all these isms. Stop worrying about them. Study Jesus. Because then you will immediately see what is the fake. Stop studying these things. Oh, I'm just reading this brother. You know, Carl Jung is such a great teacher. No, why do you want to read that nonsense? Read the Bible. Read the Bible. You don't need to see, you don't need to study the fakes to know the truth. No, you study the truth, then you will immediately spot the fakes. Immediately. What does the Word say? What does the Word say to how Jesus wants church? Go look. Then you'll quickly know how to build. He is the blueprint. Spiritual discernment comes through knowledge of Him. You see, you should also have an increasing discernment. How do you know whether you are hearing from God or from man? How do you know? Spiritual discernment. If you know Him, if you have an intimacy with Him, you'll know that you're hearing from God. You see, if you don't have spiritual discernment, you need to look out because every wind of doctrine is blowing. The Bible warns us. It says that in Ephesians, that Ephesians chapter 4, every wind of doctrine is blowing right now. There's a lot of things happening. You cannot spiritually discern apart from spiritual knowledge. And then the next one is knowledge also leads to a personal knowledge. Knowledge of God leads to a personal knowledge. You have to acquire this knowledge for yourself. You can't ask somebody else for this. You need to experience it for yourself. See, the last one, last thing I want to say is that knowledge leads to obedience. So if you know, if you get this knowledge, you get this by obeying the Lord Jesus Christ, by being totally sold out to Him. That's how you get it. I said in the beginning, there's two types of knowledge. There's a knowledge of man, knowledge of God. There's a humanistic way of thinking. Humanism or Gnosticism. Gnosticism claimed one could find knowledge apart from God. Gnosticism allowed the people to go to church, to not feel bad about sin, and to not even have to obey and yet still be called religious. That's what Gnosticism has done. Can I repeat that for you? Gnosticism allowed the people to go to church, to not feel bad about sin, and to not even have to obey, and yet still called be religious. 2 Timothy 3:5, and then Titus, I want to read quickly, and then I'm coming in for landing. Paul writes this to young Timothy, he says, having the appearance of godliness, but denying its power, avoid such people. Titus 3 tells us this. They profess to know God, but they deny Him by their works. They are detestable, disobedient, unfit for any good work. I didn't say that. Thank the Lord Paul said that. You can come to church, but you're not even stirred in your heart anymore to deny sin, deny yourself. Pick up your cross daily. We just come to church and religiously hear that Jesus loves me and he wants to give me a future and a hope. Please read Jeremiah in context. Those people were in exile. Jeremiah 29:11 was written to a people that were stuck in a different country for 80 years. They were slaves. He says, once you get out of here, if you get out of here, then there's a future and hope for you guys. And he was pointing to Jesus. That is my future and my hope. On planet Earth, I'm going to go through trials. I'm going to go through sufferings. Through much suffering, Paul says, we will inherit the kingdom of God. Then there's a spiritual knowledge. It comes from knowledge of and experience of Jesus Christ through obedience. So I'm wrapping up here. How am I going to get this knowledge of God? Well, you don't get it by your own personal pursuit. You get it as you bow before Him, cooperate with Him, and surrender to His word and what He says. You're not just going to have it one day, boom, you know, like me reading Bible, putting my face, Bible on my face, thinking all scripture's just going to jump into my head. No, it's not going to work like that. It's when you submit to Him, as you obey Him, as you surrender to His will. It is also by a revelation. God needs to reveal Himself. Man cannot discover on his own what God has hidden. What God has hidden, only God can reveal. Only God can reveal these hidden things to you. Not even through a lot of preaching and God must reveal it to you. And you know what's the amazing thing? You can read the scripture 1,000 times. And maybe just that 1,001th time, you read it and God is just showing something in that scripture. It's happened to me. God has like showed me some stuff. Like I've read that scripture so many times. And then that one day, just a revelation. See, man can discover what is hidden by man. But man cannot discover what is hidden by God. To me, what's necessary is that we need to be led deeper in understanding of God. But it doesn't come only by our own intellect. It comes by the revelation of the Spirit of God. Yes, the intellect is needed because God gives understanding. But it is the Holy Spirit that's doing this in a person's life. We need to ask that the Holy Spirit will come. And I want to ask that this morning. Like I asked last week, some folks that were struggling with reading the Bible. I want to ask this week, are you struggling to know Him? To go deeper, you know, into the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Deeper into Him. Deeper into submitting to Him and say, Lord, have Your way. Not my will, but Yours be done.